Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Laura W. and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater, anorexic and exercise bulimic from South Jersey. Today is Thursday, March 23rd, 2023, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time Big Book Study. Today we are reading from the Big Book and we are at page 69, the second paragraph, starting with, "In this way we tried to shape a sane," ending with, "nor to be despised and loathed." And we're going to be reading and sharing on that one paragraph only. Today's readers are, and thank you for your service, the 12 Steps, Christy K., the 12 Traditions, Alex K. Readers of the text are Penny L. C. for the text, Jody E. reading page 164, and Christina M. as our backup. And we have our newcomer greeter, Carla C., and announcements will be Betsy H. The reference numbers for yesterday, Wednesday, March 22nd, 2023, the 10 a.m. meeting is 20,079. That's 20,079. And for this morning, Thursday, March 23rd, 7 a.m. meeting, the reference number is 20,081. That's 20,081. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took which are suggested as a program of recovery. I will now ask Christy K. to read the 12 steps of OA.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Christy K., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Washington State, and these are the 12 steps. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for letting me do service.
Thanks, Christy K. Thank you for your service. I will now ask Alex K. to please read the 12 traditions of OA.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. Alex K., recovering compulsive eater in California, recovered just for today. The 12 traditions. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive eater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you. Grateful to do service.
Thanks, Alex K. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and the literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute your phone, and once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted, and please do not use speakerphone as it does interfere with the recording. Today we resume our study of the Big Book. We are on page 69, the second paragraph, beginning with, "In this way we tried to shape a sane," and then ending with, "nor to be despised and loathed," reading that one paragraph only. I will now ask Penny L.C. to get us started.
Thank you, Laura. Thank you for your service. Good morning and good morning to everyone on the line. This is Penny L.C., a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater from the state of Washington. In this way, we tried to shape a sane and sound ideal for our future sex life. We subjected each relationship to this test. Was it selfish or not? We asked God to mold our ideals and help us to live up to them. We remembered always that our sex powers were God-given and therefore good, neither to be used lightly or selfishly, nor to be despised and loathed. And I was writing some notes just in reflection of this and what I wanted to share, and I'll be honest, they didn't get very well organized, so I'm just going to wing it here a bit. So first of all, sound. What is sound? It's based on good judgment. And what is an ideal? A concept of what is most suitable. So going forward with that, what I know for myself is that all my relationships needed to be subject to where I was selfish. My objective was to get what I wanted, and I see now that I had unrealistic expectations of a fairy tale life. There's no wonder that my relationships were distorted. You know, my awareness now and my understanding of my sex inventory is how it allows me to outline where I fell short of this healthy sex ideal I now have, where my thoughts and behaviors were out of line. You know, what it's not is an accounting of my trauma experience, because those were not my selfishness. Instead, those belong on my resentment inventory. But looking further, I can know that I'm just going to read what I've written here. Remembering that sex instincts are a gift from God, yet my focus was not on what God would have me be. Instead, it was self-centered, and I was only seeking, what I was seeking, what I thought I wanted, which was to be loved, treasured, and adored. Yet I misused the gift. I was only using others in trying to fill that same empty hole I tried to fill with food. My distorted intentions were to get attention, receive validation, and falsely boost my self-esteem. My sexual desires are God-given, and therefore the directions in this textbook that I consider my owner's manual on, quote, how to do life, how to be in life. These instructions call me to create my ideal around what a sane, healthy outlook about my sex values would be and what God would have me be in my thoughts and actions. And, you know, here I'm also given a sex ideal prayer to lead me to that spiritual focus. And so I simply pray, God, please mold my ideals and help
gentle
me to
reminder
live up to them. Thank you very much, Laura. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Penny LC. Thank you for your wonderful share and for getting us started. So before I take a list of names, just a reminder that although we do value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So if you've shared on any Vision for You meeting on Tuesday or Wednesday of this week, please hold back and let others share their experience. So who would like to share? Please give me your first name, the first initial of your last name, and where you're calling from.
Lorraine M. in Oregon.
Lorraine N. in Oregon.
Joanne P.
I'm sorry, was that Darlene P.?
Joanne.
And where are you calling from, Joanne?
Pennsylvania.
Joanne P. from Pennsylvania.
Bruce E.
California. Kelly H., where are you calling from?
North Carolina.
Thanks, Kelly. I've got Lorraine N., Joanne P., Bruce E., and Kelly H. Could take one more in this round. Okay, let's start with this great lineup. Lorraine N. from Oregon, you're up.
Hi, good morning, and thank you for your service. And I'm just so grateful for the Visions meeting, particularly the last few weeks discussing, you know, the big ones, resentment, fears, and now sex. And I wanted to say, I want to point out with the sentence that I don't hear a lot, and it helped me so much when I came into Visions 4 years ago. On page 70, where it says to sum up about sex, that paragraph, if sex is very troublesome, we throw ourselves the harder into helping others. We think of their needs and work for them. This takes us out of ourselves and quiets the imperious urge when to yield would mean heartache. That was a lifesaver for me when I got to that paragraph. I won't go into my sex history. It was, you know, horrendous like many of us, and troublesome is putting it mildly. So that gave me the freedom to just take myself right out of that whole arena of sex, dating, relationships, and all of that. It gave me permission. I could just take myself out of that and focus on healing the best I could. And that's when I came in, I got abstinent, and then I started sponsoring and just throwing myself into the work. So we get to make that choice. And I just wanted to point out that little sentence, you know, if sex is troublesome, we throw ourselves into helping others, and it does quiet the imperious urge and gave me the time to look at my life and the disaster that it was and start to heal. So with that, I'll pass. Thanks for the opportunity to share.
Thanks, Lorraine from Oregon. Thank you so much. Up next is Joanne P., followed by Bruce E. Joanne, you've got your 3 minutes.
Good morning, everyone. This is Joanne P. from Pennsylvania. Grateful, recovered, compulsive here. Oh my goodness, I feel like I grow so much in this program and learn so much every day. It's kind of wild. I mean, I know I've read this page over and over and over again, but I even shared on, I was a guest speaker on my fourth step inventory. But I have a whole new outlook on it after reading this paragraph. It says, in this way, we tried to shape a sane and sound ideal for our future sex life. You know, it's, and then it goes on to say, we subjected each relation to this test. It's all about our relationships, whether our relationships are with males or females. And you know, in this day of pronouns, it's kind of, I have grandchildren and oh my word, I'm just trying to wrap my head around the pronouns and the theys and the thems. And sound, sane and sound ideals just brings to mind to me the prayer of St. Francis. You know, our ideals are right in that prayer, right? That's who we want to be, with to love rather than be loved. I mean, I was always worried about how I was being treated, you know, and so self-centered and selfish and everything else. Oh, when in actuality, it's who we are, right? And who we want to be. And the prayer of St. Francis comes to mind. These are our God-given ideals, really, in that prayer. And neither to be used lightly or selfishly, or to be despised or loathed. Yeah, to be accepting, to be humble, and just to love one another and be tolerant. Okay, with that, I pass. Thank you for listening. And thank you for all your shares.
Thank you, Joanne P. from Pennsylvania. Thank you so much. Up next is Bruce E., followed by Kelly H.
Hey, thank you. Let me know if you can't hear me. I'm Bruce E. in Southwest Florida. I'm recovered. And I wanted to put my two cents in on this thing, on this sex deal here. In this way, well, what way? Well, the way of trying to figure out how I can get set free. Each relation to the test, was it selfish? Was it selfish? And you have to put that in there. Everything I've ever done all my life has been selfish, you know, so especially when it comes to sex. We ask God to mold our ideals and help us live up to them, so that's the first prayer. I think that's the first sex prayer that's in here, along with one or two more. I need to be praying that one more often. So in the situation I grew up in, which was maybe could have been similar to a few others, but maybe different than others. So my dad was a workaholic. He was gone all the time, and he was way over the board on the discipline and the stress and the, all of that. Made me feel uncomfortable and fearful. So I'm not blaming him for the food addiction. I'm just telling it like it is. I understand that I'm supposed to be sharing from my weaknesses rather than my strengths. But I didn't get on here to share about my strengths. I came on here to share about my weaknesses. So anyway, that drove me towards my mother, who was more kind and loving and accepting. But then I took on this unusual, weird, extreme attraction towards my mother, sexual attraction. And that really screwed me up on this whole sexual thing. So after that, everybody that I ever dated or had relationships with, including my first wife, I wanted them to look like my mother. And that'll screw a marriage up real quick. You pick somebody to marry, and you marry them because they look like your mother. That's a real screwed up deal. So I was very sexually active, and it's what I was looking for. I was just looking for love and attention and acceptance. And if somebody would have sex with me, right, then that would make me feel like, okay, then I must be okay. Maybe I am okay, even though my dad didn't think so. maybe I am okay because they're having sex with me, so that means I've got value. That means that that I'm all right. That means that I'm accepted by somebody. And that was screwed up. So that just made me all the more selfish and self-centered. And it just added more people
gentle
to my
reminder.
List of people to do. Thank you, people to do amends with. So, yeah, life went on. So I'm glad I'm in this program because I can do amends and, you know, carefully, and I can get well, or help you get well anyway, get on the way to getting well. So thank you, and I pass.
Thanks, Brucey from Florida. Thank you for your share. Up next is Kelly H. from North Carolina, and then I'll be taking a new list. Kelly?
Hi, this is Kelly H. from North Carolina, working in recovery one day at a time. Thank you for your service. And this text used to make me so uncomfortable. and I'm sure I'm not alone in that. But in reading this paragraph, I am so grateful that we have a program that rolls up the sleeves and gets down to it. There cannot be any aspect of life that we leave on a desert island while we work on the recovery of the 99.9% other aspects of our life. Because this disease is 100% about the takedown and doesn't leave one area of our life untouched. So just in journaling on this morning, I wrote that this disease of compulsion is a sickness, and it shows up in every area, including what is intimate. Of course, what draws me in or repels me in all aspects of intimacy is affected by a disease of self, a disease of compulsion. For me, that's the disease of overeating. This disease affects my mind and my soul, all of my relationship transactions, including sex, are affected by this disease of compulsion, always trying to find a solution. And this paragraph offers some instruction, and it's for people not who need the program, but people who are in the program. So it's written for me. So my instruction this morning from all these awesome shares in rereading this passage is to understand that whatever my ideal is, I have to ask God to mold it and to help me live up to it. I don't get to leave this subject as a taboo to God. I don't, as other fellows have shared, I don't get to put up the do not disturb sign on my attitudes and thoughts about sex, because that is a gift from God. And to be available and whole and made whole every single day, I want this area of intimacy to be totally renovated and overhauled. And I want to be fully recovered, showing up in my relationships, especially with my husband. I want to be a warm and caring, loving mom and a faithful, vigilant, wise friend. All my ideals, which are God-given, are activated when I use the kind and strong advice in this paragraph. I ask God to mold my ideals and help me to live up to them. With that, I will pass. Thank you.
Thanks, Kelly H. Thank you so much for your share. Before I take the next lineup, just a reminder where we are. We're in the big book on page 69, the second paragraph, starting with, "In this way, we tried to shape a sane," reading that one paragraph only. So I'll now open it up. If you haven't shared within the last 3 days, if you haven't shared on Tuesday or Wednesday on any Vision for You meeting, please give me your first name, the first initial of your last name, and where you're calling from.
Rocio.
Jen A., Colorado.
I heard Lucille. Lucille.
Rocio. R-O-C-I-O. R-O-C-I-O. C.
Rocio. C. Okay. Who was next?
Jen A., Colorado.
Somebody A from Colorado.
Jen A. from Colorado.
Gotcha, Jen.
Deborah G. Washington.
I got it. Deborah G. Is that Washington?
Ann M.
Got Ann M. Where are you calling from, ma'am?
Washington.
Okay. Where's Deborah G. calling from? We'll get that when you share. So far, I have Rocio C., Jen A., Deborah G., and Ann M. I could take a couple more. Okay, let's get started with
Barbara A., California.
Barbara A. from California. Okay, we'll stop there for now, see where we are on time. Rocio C., please go ahead and let us know where you're calling from.
Hi, good morning. This is Rocio C. From Southern California. Well, this is my first time sharing in Vision. I've been abstinent for about 5 weeks now. And as you know, I've been listening into our meetings, and this whole conversation about sex in the Big Book is really, really bringing things up for me. And as I am abstinent and I'm not in the food, eating compulsively, and I'm not, you know, social media in it away and doing other ways or picking up other form of addictions to distract myself, I am feeling, and things are coming up. Things are surfacing through my awake state, through my dream state. And last night, dreaming about my trauma and sex trauma, that is, through my son, who in my dream, he comes to me and tells me I've been molested. You know, God is trying to speak to me. And I woke up and I have this heaviness in my heart and this profound sadness. And it's being felt so deeply right now. And the solution for me is to get, you know, on this phone call, share, let you know that I am feeling, that I am no longer numbing myself with anything else, that I am committed to my recovery. I am committed to enlarging my spiritual life and to feel in a safe space. You know, our community for me is safe. And today I will make lots of phone calls, read 10 meetings, and just feel in a very gentle and loving way and be compassionate with myself, honoring that little girl who had no choice. Yet, you know, as a mother, I have the choice to be present and to protect my children and to be there with my for my children if anything ever happened, because I'm not in the food. I am consciously awake through this program, living it one day at a time. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Rocio C. from California. Up next is Jen A., followed by Deborah G. Jen, please share.
Good morning. Thank you so much. This is Jen A. I'm calling from Colorado this morning, recovered by God's grace and mercy. Thank you, God, for saving a girl like me. And thank you for the sex inventory, right? Like, the song that plays in my head is back from the 80s. Let's talk about sex, baby. Let's talk about you and me. And, you know, those conversations were far and few between and very uncomfortable. And when I got to Overeaters Anonymous, it was like, oh, and we're going to do this fearless and searching moral inventory of ourselves, and it includes sex. And I thought, my sexual conduct, my relationship conduct, my conduct in life has been less than desirable. And so to take a look at that, to put a magnifying glass on, and then times 3, times 5, times 25, wow. What an eye-opening, discovering experience it was for me when I first came into the rooms about 5 years ago. And I will just say, you know, ideas or ideals? Let's look at the word, right? Because I sat down with my sponsor, and I heard ideas. What are the ideas you have? And my sponsor sent me home, and he said, I want you to make a list of you know, looking at your inventory and what it's revealed to you, what are the ways in which you're going to, what are the ways in which you're going to show up? And I thought he said, you know, how do you want others to show up? Like, what's your ideas, not ideals? And my feet were not fully planted in the soil. I was still, you know, hanging on fantasy and not reality. And so I came back with a list of things that I just thought, I want to be like this and I want him to be like that. I mean, I'm talking about 6 pages. And my sponsor listened to every page that I read. And he goes, great, now go home and do the assignment that I asked you to do. And so it's really interesting. And you know, what that meant for me was getting on my knees and praying and asking God to reveal how he wants me to show up. And today it's so much differently when I'm looking at the sex inventory and I'm looking at the relationships, 5, 6 years later in program, is that I go to the Father and I ask God, what is your will for my life? And God will reveal to me through the inventory process of looking at my conduct and the harms done. And it could be as easy as flirting, or it could be as easy as or it could be just, you know, as detrimental as having an affair. But all the ways in which I've conducted myself. And this process is brutal. It is eye-opening. It is soul-cracking. It will open your heart and expose you to whatever. But it is so healing. And that's the beautiful part of the 12-step program of recovery, is that I'm now making room for God to come in and making him the Lord of my life and saying, okay, have your will with my life and show me how you want me to show up. My time's up, but I'm just so grateful for a meeting and an OA group that is ready to tackle this. So thanks for letting me share, and I'll pass.
Thanks, Jen A. from Colorado. Up next is Deborah G., followed by Ann M. Deborah, you've got your 3 minutes.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Deborah G. from Arizona. And thank you so much for your lead this morning and everyone for making this meeting possible. And welcome, welcome to the newcomers. I'm so glad you're here. And I remember being woken up because I was so unconscious to my sex addiction and how that was playing a role in my life with my behavior and the people that were affected by it. And it wasn't until, I'm so grateful by God's grace, that a beautiful woman was placed in my life that was able to take me through the steps with it and to see how I used it for love, to belong, to think that I was the ultimate for the sexual acts that I did, for manipulating the manipulation that I used with sex, you know, all of those behaviors and the underlying things with that was just another addiction that I used to cope with what was going on with me. And then I remember doing a healthy sex ideal to what that looked like, because I had no idea. I had been in the throes of living like that for so many years that I had no idea what a healthy sex ideal looked like. And when I wrote it out, it was beautiful because I invited God in to help me with it, to help me see. And it was a map and a way of following my life differently, of being differently with other people and my relationships with other people. I'm so grateful for that. And thank you all for your shares in 12-stepping me today. And that's all I have.
Thanks, Deborah G. from Arizona. Just a reminder, we're on page 69 of the Big Book, the second paragraph, starting with, in this way we tried to shape a sane, and ending with, nor to be despised and loathed. And we're sharing on that one paragraph. Up next is Anne M. from Washington, followed by Barbara A. Anne?
Hi, everybody. Anne M. Washington, compulsive eater. The thought that came to mind, many thoughts, are this is the most terrifying subject in my life and has been forever. Growing up, and I realized just reading this paragraph today that the whole idea of my body being shameful when I was 12, 13, thinking that for years, that sort of, it is really related. There's a link directly now in my mind to this dysmorphia, this body dysmorphia, the shame that went along with that, and the religious beliefs that I took in and decided this is the way, you know, I need to think about sex and about my body and about intimate relationships. And I mean, it was so, everything was distorted at that point. And how then, what did I do? I went to try to control food because I had no control over my body, developing body and the sexual urges and whatever. So food was the way I, you know, would feel in control. And then it got out of hand in terms of the guilt that came from eating and then this purging, starving, that sort of thing. And thankfully, finding OA in, I think it was the first meeting was in 1989. And I really got that there is a way out of this need to control my food and everything about life. Then it went into every single aspect of my life. This urge to, if I'm the least bit uncomfortable, well then I'll figure out some way to control it, get back to comfort state. Because I'm a hedonist. I mean, I wanted everything to be no pain. And this was a very painful topic for me. Anything to do with body, sex, and I've worked on that for years with the step work and find that I get the comfort from the whole idea of there is a solution. And this book tells me in every single page, there is a solution to get out of myself and think about others. And it just is, it's wonderful. And I so appreciate this meeting and everybody on it. And thank you for giving me the opportunity to speak up. It's so difficult for me. Thanks. Have a good day, everyone.
Thanks, Ann M. from Washington. Up next is Barbara A. from California.
Hi, good morning. Thank you. I've been following the past couple of days these paragraphs and I have worked the 12 steps just recently, as a matter of fact, with a sponsor who, when we came to sex conduct, was so gentle to say, look at this like you would look at all your relationships. And in this paragraph, it says for sure, where had we been selfish, dishonest, or inconsiderate? Whom had we hurt? And the same way I looked at my inventory, I looked at how I had used sex in that same way. And I, too, I've heard it on the phone. I didn't like this paragraph. It scared me. I didn't want to talk about it. And by the grace of God, just reading through it, finding a sponsor, talking it out, the fear just, finally, how do we say it? I shared this with someone yesterday. I said, you do it afraid. I've been in the program a long time, 24, 25 years, and honestly have not worked this sex inventory correctly by my own admission. That was my fault. It was my fear until recently. And the freedom and the abstinence that it's helping me maintain on a daily basis, because I've let go of this blame and shame that was surrounded by my sex conduct. Listening on this line too, I just find I am not chronically unique. I hear that a lot in the program too. Many people have the same, you're telling my story when I pick up the line and listen. And that is healing also for me. I also want to appeal to the newcomers. I know it's fearful. I know it's scary. And working the steps is the only thing that got me to put down my food after years and years of trying to do it by myself and trying to do it a way other than the 12 steps way. I'm just grateful today. I'm so grateful to be able to read these pages, to process out my sex inventory like I have with my regular house cleaning, and to know that the fear is there, but there are loving and kind people who will work through this with me, who have been there, who have had the fear.
Gentle reminder.
Thank you. I'm just grateful to be here. Thank you for your service. And I pass.
Thanks, Barbara A. from California. Thank you for your share. I can open up the line to take about 2 to 3 more shares, two or three more people, if you'd like to share on page 69, the second paragraph, starting with, "In this way, we tried to shape a sane." Please give me your first name, the first initial of your last name, and where you're calling from.
Ann B.
Annette M.
Okay, we're going to stop there. I got Ann B. And then who was right after Ann?
Annette M.
It was Annette, yep. And then there was one more right after Annette.
Dana P.
Thanks, Dana. Okay, that's our lineup. Hopefully we can get everybody in. Ann M, Annette, Ann B, Annette M, and Dana P. Ann B, please let us know where you're calling from. Go ahead.
Hi, this is Ann B. I'm a compulsive overeater from Westchester United Intergroup in New York. I don't like that word, recovered, but I have been abstinent for 18 years. You know, this one area of the big book has always been a mystery to me. And I've even said to people, I am incompetent in this area. You're going to have to talk to somebody else. And I even joined another fellowship on this topic. And I, this past 2 days listening, I just feel like I've had this like eureka moment. It's like, how was I selfish? Because I have a mild autism spectrum disorder. And I didn't, at the time when I had relationships, romantic sexual relationships, I didn't know that I had that. And I didn't have any ability to visualize the wants and needs of another person and to have a mutual relationship. And I was raised by people who probably also had this type of disorder and also had no ability to really visualize the needs and of another person and really interact. And, you know, I when I did this inventory, you know, I had heard other people's inventory where they had cheated on someone or they felt they had manipulated someone and I didn't feel like I had done any of those things. I hadn't intentionally hurt anybody or cheated on anybody. And I thought, well, but, you know, now listening, you know, yes, I wanted affection. I wanted strokes. I wanted to heal the childhood wound of having grown up in a dysfunctional family. And, you know, and I'm listening to it and I'm wondering how could you have a relationship that's not selfish? I mean, why would you enter into a relationship if you didn't want love and attention and physical, you know, satisfaction? And it opens a whole new area of bafflement to me. And, you know, I know that I have kind of, as an older person, and I'm 66, just kind of retreated from relationships because they just seem too scary. And, someone's not muted. And I haven't entered relationships, and I've isolated in a way that's, I don't think that's necessarily helpful to the world either, to be isolating and pushing people away. So out of fear of just not having any idea how to do this and how to be safe doing this.
Gentle reminder.
Thank you. I'll pass.
Thanks, Ann B. from New York. Thank you for your share. Up next is Annette M.
Hi, it's Annette M. from Toronto in Canada. I just, what's coming through to me is the right ideal. Often when we talk about this, it's usually people who have had many multiple relationships. Oh, sorry, someone's coming in and I'm not going to be private. Just 2 seconds. And I just we talk about people who have had many relationships and then promiscuity. And for me, I'm one of those who's like the anorexic. And I keep looking and searching and praying for God's direction on this ideal. And it's something that, I need to trust and rely completely on God, because left to my own, I just recoil. And my like top dog bully inside of me is my father, who says, I remember once he rolled down the window while we were on the way up to the cottage, and he saw this couple, who had just gotten married, and they had all the paraphernalia outside their car. And he says, "Oh, you'll be sorry." And my mother's in the seat beside him. And I'm thinking, yeah, that's how I kind of relate to relationships. Don't go there. They're dangerous. And I know that the only one who can help me slowly, methodically step into my own loving, love myself is God. And so I am patient and I keep trusting and relying on God to shape that ideal. And with that, I pass. Thanks.
Thanks, Annette M. from Toronto. Dana P., you've got about a minute and a half. Would you like to take that?
Sure, I'd love to. Hi, Dana P. in Thanks. California. We've been talking about sex for about a week now. Starting out with now about sex, and it's just so interesting to me, that word. This is not about, and it's very clear in these paragraphs, what I did, who I did it with, who and what I did it with, and how I did it. Certainly, I'm happy to share that history with anyone, and that's what I thought my sex inventory was all about, listing all of that stuff. Because there was so much shame and guilt wrapped around it. And I was born in 1962, so I grew up in a home in the 60s. And so I had interesting things modeled to me around all of that. And then not to mention the trauma. But ultimately, what this all boils down to is what this paragraph is talking about. We tried to shape our ideals based on what God would have us be. And first I have to look at my motives. What are my motives? And it doesn't take years and years of therapy to figure that all out, and doesn't take all of that. What it takes is simply sitting down with the inventory and looking at my character defects.
Gentle reminder.
What were my motives? So, and that's true in all relationships. So thanks so much. I'll pass it back.
Thanks, Dana P. from California. Sorry to cut you short. Thank you to everyone who has shared today. It is now 10:48 and time to close the meeting. We'll now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Jody E. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Yes, thank you, Laura. This is Jody E., gratefully recovered in California. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit. And you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.